Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Here we go, 7:42, 18 before 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Mark Roser, President, CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Help you manage your money with Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good morning, sir. Happy Friday to you.
Same to you, sir, and happy 2025. Yes, sir. And in light of everything that went on, new year has begun. I don't mean to disclose this, but I have some Powerball tickets and some Mega Millions tickets that I haven't checked yet. So I'm confident going into the new year.
There you go. That's how you're going to manage your money?
Yes. But for those...
Just win the Powerball and clean everything up.
Well, I haven't checked the tickets yet. But for okay. those that don't have that same sound financial background that I have, let's talk about what do you call them? The calculators that are available, almost 100 of them at Jefferson Financial,
by the way. Financial. Yes. Well, Tom, we put those out there. It's open to the public. Nobody needs to join the credit union to use the calculators. You're not signing in. You're not making a password. They're just let people enjoy them. And they cover a lot of financial just aspects of your life, whether it's borrowing or saving. 401k, all that stuff is out there to use, and just wear yourself out on it. I mean, you can't break anything, can't do anything contrary. And again, we're not collecting any information. So I think that's why we want them out there, just for people to be able to use and understand a little bit more about their money.
Tell me what we're going to talk about today.
We had just a little bit of a recap and a little bit of a forecast. For 2024, we had the Dow that was up 13%, and that's any as far as I'm concerned, to anything double digits, that's a good return with respect to 401ks and investing for the future and seeing your portfolio grow. That's a little bit better than a long-term average for the Dow, but the real benefits were in the S&P, where you have a lot of 500 stocks there and only 30 in the Dow. So you have stuff like NVIDIA, a lot of chip makers, a lot of technology in the S&P. It was up 23.3%. And last year, 2023, it was up over 24%. So some analysts noted that the S&P hasn't posted two consecutive years of 20-plus returns since 1997 and 1998. So it was a bit of a record breaker. It's not had those performance levels in quite a long time. But, you know, the artificial intelligence stock, NVIDIA, it does wonders when to the S&P when it's up 250%. So they had several stocks like that, all nested within the S&P. And I've been an advocate for that in terms of for people's 401ks. I know this is very broad, very unspecific, but I have 100% of my 401k in the S&P 500. And it's just you know, let the markets go. I don't try to time anything. I'm not trying to really cherry pick individual stocks and things. So for a 401k, I mean, most plans, you can't invest in an individual stock. So you're kind of limited to mutual funds and groups of stocks. So the S&P works well for me. And you have people that like that idea, and some people would prefer something differently. But I take comfort in the fact that those double 20% returns, I'm liking where my balance is going over the past couple of years. But as far as this year, you and I were talking before about, you know, we've got a lot of changes coming. You've got a new administration. Of course, they want the economy to grow. Of course, they have new plans for cutting the budget and all those types of things. So I think it invokes a bit of uncertainty, Tommy. And then forecasting where rates will go and things, start off with mortgages. You have Zillow, Redfin, Fannie Mae, the Mortgage Bankers Association saying, don't get the mortgage is going to go down to 4%. They are not. According to all these experts in mortgage, it's going to stay above 6%. And we had a rate yesterday of 6.60. That seems to be somewhat of an average rate. But somebody that's waiting around for a 4.5% mortgage, I don't think that's coming anytime this year. I'm looking at bank rate. It looks like they have two rates that are in the low sixes. But you're going to have to shop. If you missed the refinance, really the time, like last August when the number started with a 5, okay, that's gone. So we're in the sixes, sometime mid to high sixes. In fact, the mortgage rates have come up only 6 basis points. It's nothing to move really the needle. But so far in 25, mortgage rates are up. So I think there's a lot of pressure on long-term rates to move up a little bit after the Fed has kind of calmed down. And I don't think they're going to lower rates anytime soon, if ever, in 25. So the rates are where they are. From an investing standpoint, let me just stay from a retail banking standpoint, you might get some better CD rates going forward, mm-hmm. where somebody will be needing the money in things. So that's a matter of you got to look around, shop, and just compare. Credit cards, you have what you have. I don't think there's going to be a lot of energy towards lowering credit card balances, especially if they're tied, which most of them are, to the Wall Street Journal Prime. So the Fed has got to lower rates for the prime to basically go down, and then you have what you have. So if that Wall Street Journal Prime isn't moving off of, I think right now it's 7.50, but the credit card rate is saying, well, it's Wall Street Journal Prime plus 10, Wall Street Journal Prime plus 20, and that's where people are getting these 25, 27, almost 30% credit card rate. So I've long been saying you need to look for another solution. You need to try to refinance that out and kind of get from under. That's a crushing interest rate to be carrying month after month. I mean, that's no fun whatsoever. And as far as the Fed, speaking of them, they meet in 26 days. And at the time, a lot of people are saying, well, they're looking for two rate reductions. Fed Chief Powell basically said that after their last meeting, after the December rate reduction. But as far as the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, it's been pretty good about forecasting what the Fed is going to do. They put a lot of energy behind their forecasting tool. I looked this morning. All of the meetings for 2025, there's not a single forecast over 50%. All of them are like 35 to 40% chance of a rate reduction in any of the meetings for 2025. So if we were just taking that on its face value, we're not going to have rate reductions. And I think they're worried about maintaining their inflation target. They've not reached it. They wanted it to be 2%. It remains stubbornly above 2%. Every now and then we'll get a CPI or PPI number that just lifts it. You know, not one number does a trend make, but every now and then one will come in up 0.3% for the month, which is a 3.6% annual rate, and it brings up the year-over-year average just a little bit. It's just being stubborn, just by increments, above 2%. But if they're still wanting to maintain that 2% target, we might not get it at all next year. So then, in consequence, you might not be getting a Fed rate reduction at all. More, there's a growing chorus of analysts that are saying, look, we need to prepare not for the rate reduction. We need to prepare for the possibility that the Fed may have to raise rates going into a tightening cycle again if the economy starts accelerating more than it is. We've had growing wages. retail sales are high. That means GDP has been up and revised up over the past couple of months on the third quarter. At the end of this month, we'll get fourth quarter numbers. But everybody's forecasting that GDP is high enough to indicate a fairly healthy economy. So it's not going to give the Fed a lot of room to keep lowering rates. So that's where that's going to stay a little bit stubborn. And the stock market, the analyst is saying, has been up so much, just the numbers that I had gone over, that the S&P is really not poised for a rate hike. That if so, a couple of analysts were saying that at 6,000, its current level, or right around that, the one person was saying that the S&P might drop to 4,000 if the Fed has to start raising rates. So it gives you an idea of that would be that
drop
would be
to 4,000 or drop 4,000
to 4,000. But that's a 33% whack. So you talk about what I was just mouthing off about. Oh, I love the S&P 500 from my 401k. What I wouldn't love is a 33% whack in any of the averages.
No.
Nobody would either. So that's one particular analyst opinion, but you get it out of these big brokerage firms that many of people on their staff are paid to do absolutely nothing but look at this stuff and try to plan for tomorrow. So that it's been encouraged by a strengthening economy and an effort to lower inflation and for the Fed to stay pat. So if the Fed is not staying pat, moving against the crowd, so to speak, and against the market, you could see sell-offs in some of these market averages. So that's what's being warned if the Fed wants to move in the other direction. I think it would surprise the market. But again, the CME tool is saying don't get excited about rates coming down in 2025. They're basically saying we don't have a single month, that is going out a whole year, so anything could happen, but there's not a single month that indicates over 50% chance of a rate reduction in any of the Fed meetings for 2025. That's where it stands this moment.
So where is the money to be made this year, Mark? Where is the – go ahead.
That's it. As far as like from a change in administration – he wants to expand U.S. drilling, a lot of emphasis right now on energy-related stocks, and you got to pick and choose between that. But we know what the new administration's direction is there. He wants to roll back on any of the climate rules, roll back on the Green New Deal, maybe within that, cutting federal spending, and that's for the deficit and maybe to put less pressure on rates. So that might give us an incremental benefit from a stock standpoint, roll back some of the expenses for the Inflation Reduction Act, pull back incentives to buy EVs, and withdraw from the climate agreement. So a lot of those things all at once are going to maybe pull back on a lot of government spending and not put pressure on rates. The more the government borrows, it's called the crowding out argument, that there's less money for us to borrow, and it tends to have an incremental effect on increasing rates. So the biggest thing is like defense and energy-related stocks. So that's been said by a couple of analysts saying, I mean, he's been very vocal about wanting to regain energy independence and drill, baby, drill, and a lot of those things. So I've already seen some energy-related, like ETFs or mutual funds and individual stocks, they were moving up right after the election, last month or so, last 6 weeks of 2024, in anticipation of having the news that I was just saying. So that's one couple of places that might benefit from the new administration.
The losers this year would be what? The things, credit card rates, a lot of credit card debt?
Yes, yes. And, it was you and I talked about it. It was on November 8th, I'm looking at my notes, the New York Fed came out saying they are sounding the alarm on commercial real estate. And you and I started the conversation back in the summer when a lot of news was coming out that you got $1.5 trillion in these commercial mortgages that have to be refinanced, but the rates have been up stubbornly enough that it's just not going to work. We had a couple of examples down Poydras where some of these big buildings were being refinanced for pennies on the dollar, in essence, and it seems like that still hasn't rippled through the economy. You've got a couple of examples of that, but the the pig going through that python is yet to come. So this year they're going to have a disproportionate amount of that. Is that going to institute like a banking crisis? A lot of the community banks are holding those types of mortgages. So that they were sent, quote, sounding the alarm in November that that's coming. So is it going to be impactful enough to, you know, bring the economy down a little bit? I don't want to get so dramatic saying it's going to cause a recession. I think that would be too dramatic. But $1.5 trillion is a lot of money.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the time. So. The information, as always, you can go to jeffersonfinancial.org, find all those calculators and use them right now. 7:55, 5 till 8, time for traffic on WWL.